This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Babe, how would you say your social battery is right now?
Probably non-existent since having Bear, but it's slowly coming back and I'm almost ready to get back out there and host a game night, babe. It's been too long.
I'm ready for that too.
I would say after having a baby, we've been in survival mode and haven't had a lot of extra time for socializing, but we're getting there.
Yeah, I agree. But at the same time, we both know it's important to surround ourselves with community during hard times. So it's been a tough balance that we're trying to manage. We actually talked about this in therapy recently, and it's been really helpful to dig into.
We've been open about getting back into therapy after having our third baby, and it's been a great game changer for us. We recommend it to literally anyone, not just couples going through a hard season. It's a great place to learn how to set boundaries, communicate, and learn how to build a social life without draining your battery.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, BetterHelp is an amazing option.
It's all online, so you can do whatever fits best with your schedule, which is perfect for us, especially with three babies.
You just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and they let you switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp.
Visit BetterHelp.com/EastFam today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/EastFam. Let's get back to it.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Couple Things.
With Sean and Andrew.
And Bear.
And little baby Bear.
This is a podcast all about couples.
And the things they go through, including childbirth and newborn baby phase and all the chaos that comes with it.
We have had a wonderful maternity leave. We're still technically on it.
For a long time.
Yeah.
We still have a long time. We're three and a half weeks out of the baby's birth.
Yes.
And it's been magic so far.
It has. But we thought we would sneak into the studio to share the whole story with you, I guess, start to finish, before we forget anything, and just kind of reminisce.
We love doing these baby birth story podcasts. The first one we had with Drew was probably the most eventful because we were going for like the natural birth.
Yeah.
Natural delivery, and it turned out to be quite different. And since then, it's been a little smoother, but...
A little smoother, some interesting hiccups. So to recap Drew's, Drew was 41 weeks and 4 days, I think.
Mm-hmm.
We ended up going in for an induction. I went 17 hours without an epidural, and we... went through every possible interesting technique, tool.
Some of which are just...
things to get her out, and it wasn't working.
If you've never heard of a Foley bulb, do not look it up. And do not find out what it is, please, by experience.
I have PTSD from that.
That's crazy.
17 hours, I tapped out, and I got an epidural. This is all with Drew, by the way, our first. Ended up going another 10 hours. Started affecting Drew's heart rate too much that we ended up needing to go in for a C-section. It wasn't an emergency. It wasn't like rushed by any means, but it was kind of like she was stuck in my pelvis. She hadn't dropped at all. And it was just kind of like, she's in distress. It's time to talk about a C-section. So we went in. C-section went smooth. Drew came out purple as ever. Wasn't quite crying immediately, which is a little scary.
Yeah, it is highly anticipatory. There.
Yeah. But ended up being amazing. Jet, fast forward, he measured quite a bit bigger than Drew because Drew got stuck in my pelvis. They were like, we talked through a lot of options, VBACs and everything, and ultimately decided on a C-section for risks.
Scheduled C-section.
We went in with him at 39 weeks. His C-section was very smooth. I do remember feeling quite high during his C-section.
Yeah, you were out of it. I didn't like that.
I was very out of it. I have very low blood pressure. And so I get really nauseous with epidurals or with spinal blocks and like anesthesia and stuff. And so for 7 hours after Jet was born, I was puking my guts out, which was really unfortunate post C-section.
That was tough. We didn't have any of our parents come in the room to meet the baby because it was just total carnage in there.
It was also COVID, which is wild situation.
I don't miss that at all, do you?
Yeah, jeez. No. So fast forward to Barrett, who goes by Bear. Madison East.
So we didn't know the gender of this third baby, like we didn't know the gender of our first baby. We did find out with Jet, our second, but I was 100% convinced it's a girl.
Which is so funny. And do you want to tell them why?
Why did I think? Oh, yeah. Okay, so for those of you that don't know or don't follow us on YouTube, please go check that out, by the way. And if you haven't, please subscribe to this channel and give it a rating on whatever platform you're listening to. It's just like, let's call it the old gentleman's agreement, you know? We're sharing our life and you could share a little love okay. on the subscribe. But we did a surprise nursery design. So we had a designer come in and decorate a nursery.
Lori Perangipe.
She was the only one that got the gender yeah. results after we got them.
At 10 weeks.
Yeah.
I got the gender results through genetic testing and I literally just forwarded them to her email.
So she knew the gender. We didn't. We had the upstairs room where the nursery is locked. Hadn't been in there for months. But there was one time I was up there.
It was like the week before we went in.
One time I was up there and I heard the door open. So my natural inclination is like, look at the door.
Yeah.
Who's there? And I see just a sliver of the wall. And it looked like light pink wallpaper with flowers.
When you see it, you'll understand yeah. why.
So I was like, oh, I got the inside scoop. I also was thinking about the name we had for a baby girl. And I was like, I would love a girl. So not only did I think I had a sneak peek into the
gender. Which is funny. I was more excited about the boy name.
Funny. I liked both of them. Yeah. But so I thought it was a girl because of that. And I don't know. I just kind of had imagined our family with two girls and Jet because of Jet's absolute masculinity that he brings yeah. to the family. It's like.
And I will say, for some reason, probably up until halfway through the pregnancy, thought it was a girl because of like symptoms, everything. And then I pulled up pictures towards the end of this pregnancy of each pregnancy at the same exact week. So like 35 weeks. And my belly looked so much like Jet. It's like something switched in me and I was like, it's a boy.
It's crazy.
I think it's a boy.
So didn't know the gender walking in. No. We had the scheduled C-section. I really wanted the date to be December 9th because that's my dad's birthday. And it would he passed away last December. Would have been special. Doesn't actually matter. 12/12 is a dope birthday.
It's still special. About
that. It was a Tuesday, correct?
Yeah.
The weekend before, which I talk about, was really special.
Magical.
Again, to Sean's credit, with the paternity leave, she has scheduled all this content. We worked our tail off the last couple months filming podcasts and interviews and all these things so that we could continue sharing with you all and connecting because we love that. But I feel like starting a week or two before the birth, we were kind of on break.
We were.
And so we were doing a bunch of fun family activities, including taking Drew climbing for the first time.
Which I had to go on a tangent about because we went to Climb Nashville, which is like a rock climbing place. They have all these harnesses for like every size of kid, every age. And they have auto belay climbing. So like you basically put a kid in a harness and
they go until they're tired.
Yeah.
It's great.
And Drew is definitely a little bit more timid. She's a little bit more like hesitant to try new things, but yet she's a beast when she does it.
Honestly, that reminds me of you when we first started dating.
I know.
Like extremely capable and able.
But like nervous to jump in.
Yeah.
So I wasn't sure how it would go. I thought it would be more of a hit with Jet than it was Drew. We have a small rock climbing wall at our house. They both love it. But I did think Jet was going to be the wild man at the climbing place.
But we show up and Drew gets on the wall and turns in. It was a new side of her we'd never seen. She found a passion in life. It was awesome.
Unlocked something in her that we have yet to see. And it like was a snowball effect. So one, Jet, not a huge fan. He just kind of like wanted to run around the gym.
We're
he wanted to go up and down the
time.
Stairs. Good job, Andrew.
Yeah.
But Drew was like, I want to do it again. I want to do it again. I want to try again. I want to try this one. I want to go to that one. And she was all over the place for like 2 hours. And she was so determined. She would get a little bit higher and then jump off and get a little nervous and then be like, oh, I want to try it again. And she was saying things like, this is my favorite place ever. This is better than my birthday.
Can we come here for my birthday?
Can we come here for my birthday? Can we come here every day? She was obsessed. But
her personality like lit up. She turned kind of giddy and then she she's usually talkative about certain things, but she would turn to me and just be like, "Daddy, I love you," which she never does.
I know.
And it was just really, really cool to
see.
It
lit up like this confidence in her. But then literally after we went home, the snowball effect for like days afterwards, even to today, it's like she found a confidence in herself that she didn't have. She learned to ride a bike without wheels like the next day. She jumped on Jet's motorcycle after Christmas and was like running that around. Anything that she was timid to do before rock climbing, she like all of a sudden could do it, which was, it was one of the greatest days of my life, honestly.
It was really fun and very special. I'm thankful for that. So we did that a couple times, actually. Mm-hmm. We spent a lot of time at home together doing science experiments.
We took the kids to Hibachi.
Oh my gosh. The kids love Hibachi.
They're obsessed.
So good.
We go to Hibachi once a week now.
And then there were a couple things that Sean and I did to preserve this time together too, including going to your iron appointments together.
Mm-hmm.
We try to be very aware and intentional during transitions together as a couple. Sean and I realized back when she was traveling a ton for appearances and speeches, the transitions were always the hardest mm-hmm. on us. It was like just the preparation of leaving and then returning back from home. We just didn't thrive in because we weren't intentional. So now any transition, whether it's a trip for a couple of days or like a life transition, we've really tried to be with each other and communicate and open space for that.
I've also noticed in both of us, and I think it happens with a lot of people with transitions of any kind, whether you're going on a trip or a baby or whatever, there's like a lot of emotions involved on both sides that you probably aren't voicing because they either don't seem big enough or whatever it is. Like, I was terrified to have another baby. I was terrified of childbirth. I was terrified of all these things, but I'm not like voicing all of them. And you're probably thinking through so many things going into another baby. So we tried to protect and have enough time one-on-one with each other to be able to say, like, I am really scared. I don't know what this is going to do to our relationship or our marriage or to Drew or Jed. And so we had a lot of time to just kind of be together, which was nice.
That's been one pleasant side effect of my dad's passing is this tenderness of checking in with each other in a different way and like I don't know, understanding how to communicate emotions better. That doesn't come naturally to me, where it's like Sean will be like, how do you feel, and I'm like, I don't even know what you mean by that, you know, pretty much. So
we actually learned from a genetic test that I have a interesting genetic variant that doesn't allow me to absorb iron. And I've been anemic with every pregnancy, but this one was like severe.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed it so bad. I had a horrible carpal tunnel. I was so tired. I was so tired. And I just like, I had migraines. I had all this stuff. And so I had to do, we tried iron supplements. We tried all these things and we got close enough to the birth. They're like, we need to have you go in for iron infusions, which was great. It wasn't traumatic. It wasn't hard. It was just like getting an IV for a couple hours.
You're doing it in an oncology center with like chemo patients. It's like the whole thing is like, wow, okay, this thing is fragile. But
very, it was also humbling being in the oncology department because I'm sitting there pregnant, healthy, and it's just watching people fight for their lives. It was hard. It's a lot of good time to pray for the people around me and make friends.
We were doing ice baths, though. Sean is not necessarily, you know, like made to carry babies naturally with your 4 foot 11 or 10
or
height.
Your babies.
Yeah, so super uncomfortable
already.
And then you had the anemia and all the things on top. But we were doing whatever we could. You did a great job taking naps.
I did take a lot of naps this pregnancy.
We did a better job eating food. Yeah,
I tried to prioritize nutrition and health. I tried to do everything right this time to have the easiest pregnancy. And it was a little bit harder than normal just because I was so anemic. But I felt so much better after the iron infusions. So that kind of brought us up to 2 days before the birth. The day before we go in,
mm-hmm.
It's a Monday. The kids were trying to keep their schedule as normal as possible. We've been doing a countdown, or like we did a countdown with them where I did 30 paper rings together. So every day they got to like rip one off. just to kind of build the excitement and like the understanding that a baby's coming, something's whatever.
Could have been a good idea. Could have been a bad idea.
I don't know. So Monday morning, they got to rip off the last one and see that there's only one left. And we were making a big deal of it. And then we had to take him to school. And if you know Jet and if you know his school journey, he loves school. He's never had a bad day at school. He's never been the kid that like drop off as hard where they cry and they don't want to leave. He's always been very excited to go to school. Drew has been harder that way. She's had some like harder drop offs, I guess. So we get there, we drop Drew off, and Jet, something happens, like a switch flips. And it's just, I think, the magnitude of him understanding what's happening or the transition.
Because everyone's asking about the baby. Oh, today's the day, or when's the baby coming? And it's just different.
And Jet just loses it. And he just starts crying for mommy. I pick him up and he is like wrapped around my body, my neck, hanging on for dear life, screaming, crying. And I'm just like in shock. I don't know what to do, whether to just like take him back home. I just don't know. Luckily, he has the greatest teachers in the entire world who are the sweetest ever. They basically like unclaw him from me and take him into the classroom and we leave. They texted me like literally 5 minutes later and they're like, he's happy and playing and totally fine. But I think it was just like the accumulation of 9 months getting ready for this baby. I broke.
It's hard as a parent in those situations where it's like, what's the best way forward? Do I allow Jet to be clingy, or and should we not go to school today and just take him home?
I know.
Or do we do what we set out to do, what we committed to do? And it's like, I don't know.
But it was also our last morning together and like we wanted to keep things normal. Oh my gosh, so many things. But I do think for the next hour I was hysterically crying.
A lot of tears. Understandably so.
It was just like the first sign that things aren't going to be the same. And it was the first, I got scared that like Jet was going to be traumatized. And oh, I don't know. Ugh.
Every time we've added someone to the family, whether it be a dog or a baby, there's this feeling of, if you know me, you know I love cereal. Our whole family does. And growing up, cereal was one of the best parts of being a kid. But now that I'm older, I know it's important to watch out for empty carbs and extra sugar. So I took a little break there from eating so much cereal. But now I've tried Magic Spoon. And Magic Spoon has classic flavors and the crunch you love, but it has way less sugar and it's high in protein.
We love Magic Spoon in the East household. I always get the variety pack. It has 4 flavors, cocoa, fruity, frosted, and peanut butter. This pack has 0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, and 4 to 5 grams of net carbs with only 140 calories per serving. It's high protein, has 0 grams of sugar. It's keto-friendly, gluten-free, grain-free, and soy-free.
It's pretty wild to think a cereal can be high in protein and low carb and still taste delicious, but it does. I love eating a bowl of the fruity flavor after a workout for some extra protein. And Sean here loves the cocoa flavor as a snack before bed. We think everyone should try Magic Spoon and taste the difference themselves. Go to magicspoon.com/eastfam to grab a variety pack and try it today. And be sure to use our promo code EASTFAM at checkout to save $5 off your order. And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked.
Remember, start the new year off right with a delicious bowl of high-protein cereal at magicspoon.com/eastfam. And use our code EASTFAM to save $5 off.
Thank you, Magic Spoon, for sponsoring this episode. All right, so our two oldest kids have been loving science experiments. We post about it all the time on Instagram. And lately, we've been trying to find better ways to keep and continue their curiosity going.
Yes, and so I found KiwiCo with Drew when she was an infant, but have since graduated Drew and Jet, our two oldest, to like their science boxes, which helps them with like engineering, robotics, technology. And they love getting their hands dirty and in it. And the things that KiwiCo comes up with is amazing. So each month, if you subscribe or get a membership, you get a new box in the mail for your kid to open, and it's filled with goodies. I remember this as an infant, and it was amazing.
Awesome.
But now as a toddler, it's even cooler. They get to discover and build and create things with their science boxes that are amazing.
The activities are nonstop. You get to do things like engineering, robots. There's learning about science of ice cream. That was one of our kids' yes. favorite. But they always do age-appropriate things as well, which is really cool and important. It allows the teaching and learning process to go really smoothly.
Yes. My favorite thing about KiwiCo is that their boxes are age-appropriate. So as your kid gets older, the boxes develop with them. And it also kind of tells you where they should be developmentally. I remember as a parent, it's when I started KiwiCo as a kid, like as an infant, I loved that it gave parents tips to kind of encourage the educational process for your kid. It can be hard to find creative ways to keep your child engaged, challenged, and off their screens, but KiwiCo does the work for you so you can spend quality time tackling projects together.
That's right. So redefine learning with play. Explore projects that build confidence and problem-solving skills with KiwiCo.
Get 50% off your first month on any crate line at KiwiCo.com with promo code COUPLE.
That's 50% off your first month at KiwiCo.com, promo code COUPLE. Is this going to mess up this beautiful dynamic that we already have? What is this new dynamic going to be? And there's a little fear around that. But anyway, we made it through that day.
We did.
Thank goodness.
And it was beautiful. We picked them up from school. They were so happy. We had the rest of the day together. We cuddled. We watched movies.
Went to hibachi. With a bunch of friends. It was really fun. We actually hung out with a couple groups of friends that all prayed for us. And it was like just kind of a special time. Really thankful for the...
Hibachi is a great meal before a C-section. I'm just saying.
It used to be the thing that was like reserved for... You good, buddy? That was reserved for like prom or like you know, the fancy events. So we go to bed. Had to wake up at 4? We woke up at 4 at 5 o'clock.
4, because we had to be there by 5. It was also weird putting the kids down for bed that night because it was like, ugh, I just don't know.
I feel like you're going into battle.
I know. So we woke up at 4.
Didn't have our bags packed.
No. Packed, showered.
If you think about with Drew, we had our bags packed for months before. Anyway.
But did like a quick pack. I showered. I got ready. I tried to like truly just like get myself ready for the day kind of thing. Left by 4:40, 4:30. And from then on, it was pretty chill.
The nice thing about a scheduled C-section is you know that morning you're going to have a child. Like I kind of knew based off how Jet's situation went, unless there's a hiccup. By like 7:30, 7:45, there will be a baby in our arms, which is really nice. As opposed to Drew is like, okay, I'm
going
to
go. Don't know.
Like I'm in the room. Should I go get food now? Or is the baby going to come? Yeah, whatever.
So we got checked in. We got to our room. It was the same room we delivered Drew and Jet in, which is crazy.
We love the nurses.
Oh, we love our nurses.
Spoiled. Yeah.
I feel like we can share now.
Yeah.
We deliver at St. Thomas Midtown, and I cannot speak more highly of that place, the doctors or the nurses, they have been the most amazing support system and community for all of our babies.
Shout out to all the nurses there, honestly. Yes. Big fans. Thank you for your kindness, your warmth, all your help. It's a special time and we appreciate your role in it. So
so we go in, I get the blood work drawn or done, get prepped, you know, all your pre-C-section stuff. Anesthesiologist was amazing.
Oh my gosh.
The coolest nails. I remember that.
She was a firecracker, man.
And talking me through everything. Again, since I have low blood pressure, a lot of times we have to like counter that, I guess. So we talked through any attempt to help me not puke for 7 hours.
You did a great job communicating that. That and the rash with the tarp, you communicated that well. And I think it went better this time.
It went so much better. So they wheel me back to the operating room where I see Doc. Doc is just chatting with me as I'm sitting there. I was so nervous. I get so nervous. And I always say the same prayer. I said this in previous podcasts, but like I always say the same prayer when I'm delivering a baby, which is like, God, please protect this baby. Bring him to us safely. And if you don't mind, protect me too. I'd love to hang around it. Help raise this beautiful baby you've blessed us with. So they did my spinal block. They got me laid down. They got me prepped. And then they bring Andrew in.
The docs, I had a tripod and everything set up because we just posted my birth vlog. And it's a very
Andrew gets yelled at every time. Well, and I'm laying on the table and I'm like, can you not?
There was a little confusion with they didn't want me filming the doctors, which I totally understand. It's like a like a surgical room and there's liability at stake if they do something wrong and I have it on film. It's not good. So anyway, that's why if you watch the birth vlog, it's just me. But had to deal with a little bit of that drama, which
I was so mad.
I know you were. Sean was very mad. But then it was like every time we do that, I have a better understanding of what goes on, so I'm able to kind of appreciate how it unfolds more.
You freaked me out a little bit. So because we were able to control my blood pressure and stuff better this time, I told Andrew I felt the most with it with this C-section. So I felt like I truly could grasp everything that was happening instead of feeling a little bit out of it. And you were standing up looking over the tarp, like watching. And I was just like, sit down.
Well, I wanted to see his first, you know, time peeking his head into the world. And it was really special. I'm glad it did. So they finally, they have to do all these things. And they're talking to each other. And then the doctors are like, all right, we got about 60 seconds. And then you see a bunch of blood.
Yeah.
And then you see like a little head. And I'm just sitting there looking, trying to find.
Is that weird for you to see? Are you able to like detach your emotions from like that's my wife's blood?
Yeah, it's not the blood that gets me. It's not the fact that, like, you know, that's you. It's when I see a cross section of like what they're cutting into.
Yeah.
And it's like, whoa, that's weird to me. It's not the blood. It's just like they're really cutting through her stomach. And you could see they cut through your stomach. It's just crazy.
Going on a side tangent, I had the opportunity in high school I went to the hospital once a week and got to shadow surgeons. And I remember it being such an interesting thing. Like on the other side of the tarp where you're like operating, you like emotionally can detach yourself from thinking that's a human being.
I think if you do it enough, it's just like, oh, okay, we got another C-section day. I don't care what her name is.
But I do remember because of the spinal block. So I always get the shakes really bad,
mm-hmm.
the like shock shakes. But the anesthesiologist kept checking in with me. She's like, are you okay? Because I was like taking really deep breaths.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because the spinal block made my diaphragm go numb. So I couldn't feel that I was breathing. It was such a weird sensation.
Yo, and this is what I picked up this time that I hadn't seen previously is when they say, all right, you're going to feel a little bit of pressure.
Yeah.
There's this grown man, like 50 years old, I don't know, 220 pounds or something. Puts his whole weight on Sean's rib cage or diaphragm area. And it was way more force than I was expecting. It was a lot. And to your credit, well, I guess you're numbed up, but it's like, no wonder you're sore. And
Told you that before. I was like, the only thing that is hard for me in C-sections is when they say the pressure, you literally can't breathe. So you have to like, you have to calm yourself down for a second and be like, okay, you're not going to be able to breathe for a few seconds, but it's okay.
It's crazy. So the head pops out and then they pull the baby out and the umbilical cord's between the legs. So I'm looking at the gender and I couldn't see. I had to like triple check, kept trying to get different angles. And then I finally see. I was like, no way, it's a boy. I literally could not believe it. I thought 100% it was a girl. And then I said, baby, let me introduce you to Barry Madison East. And that was the first time we saw you, little guy. And I was in tears. I was more of a train wreck this time
around. You were bawling.
Just because my dad, I don't know. Life just hits different, you know?
I know. And I remember having the same feeling I had with Drew and Jet, which is like they pull him out, they cut the cord. Andrew gets to tell me, you know, I get to hear him cry. I get to see him. They drop the drape so I can see him. And then it's like the baby nurses, the baby doctors and baby nurses that are in the room. They take him for a second to weigh him, clean him up, wrap him up, and then lay him on my chest. And that time frame feels like eternity to me.
Because you're just anxious to get your hands on him?
It's just like, it's literally less than a minute by the time they get him to me. But it just feels like the end of the world.
What was cool, well, immediately, as soon as we saw the baby, the doctor was like, oh, he's a little smaller than Jet was, or a lot smaller than Jet was. So then they go over and weigh him. He was 7 pounds, 11 ounces, which pretty sure that was wrong because the second weigh-in they do, which is like only a couple hours later, he was 7 pounds, 14 ounces.
Yeah, who knows?
Which usually they drop like some percentage of their body weight. Yeah. So we think he was low eights, mid eights. And he was 20 and a half inches long, which is pretty much what all of our babies have been. But then they wrapped him up and took him over to Sean.
And he's screaming.
He's screaming, but he relaxes after a little bit and opens his eyes almost immediately. And that's just such a special thing to see of like, oh, this is a bond.
Yeah.
That I love watching, even though I don't get to participate in it. It's really special.
I remember that with Drew, Jet, and Bear. Like, they're screaming, and then all of a sudden they like unwrap them and lay them naked on my chest, which I love. Mm-hmm. And they just calm down immediately. And what I love about delivering at Midtown too is they leave him there the whole time forever.
But this little guy was so aware, more than the other ones I remember, opened his eyes and was looking around. And his cry was not nearly as vicious as
Jets.
Jets was like really loud shrieking.
Jet had the hardest cry.
Yeah, this was like sad. Jets was a little more angry. Mm-hmm. And then I got to hold him, and I love that little time with him.
Andrew holds, the way that the process works is he's on my chest until they get me sewn up, they get everything cleaned up, and then when they transfer me to the bed where I get rolled back on, as they're like transferring and stuff, they hand him off to Andrew, and you get to hold him for a few minutes while I get transferred and stuff.
So then we go back to the room and just enjoy the next couple hours of, you got nauseous once, but it wasn't as bad.
No, it's like once or twice I had like a wave come over me where I was like, I think I'm gonna puke. And again, such amazing nurses went to the ends of the earth just to like make sure I kept my stomach down.
Speaking of your stomach, the stitch up process took a little longer because of the scar work they did. Do you want to talk about that?
I had so much scar tissue, and such an amazing doctor. I absolutely adore her. And she was just like, I cut every ounce of scar tissue out, sewed everything back up. Everything looked good.
What do you call it? Keloiding?
Yeah, I keloid a lot, which is like my scars just continue to heal themselves. They don't like stop.
The doctor said that Sean's core was so thick that she had a hard time cutting through her abs.
It was scar tissue. That's what she was referring to.
I don't know. She didn't specify.
You're such a dork.
The six pack you got going.
No, she said my core had so much scar tissue that she couldn't get through it. It took a while, but.
But yeah, and I think it's been more painful in the recovery. Oh,
so much more painful. The recovery has been the most painful. I feel back, not normal, but I feel great now. I don't feel pain anymore. I get kind of sore. But the first week was horrible.
There's so many headlines, Sean. Let's just talk about this right now.
Oh,
about
my gosh.
Addict Sean Johnson refuses narcotics as she heals after the C-section.
Way to make something so dramatic, guys.
I didn't even know what she was talking about. And then I got all these text messages with the articles from people like my mom, and I was like, I don't know what this came from.
Did your mom send that to you?
Yeah. It was,
oh, your mom just thinks based off of headlines. I'm such a
talk about that.
Okay, it's not super dramatic, guys, but back when I was trying to make a comeback, there was a not so good doctor who prescribed me Adderall to help with my energy levels in gymnastics and to like curb my appetite, which is not what you prescribe Adderall for. I ended up getting addicted to it and was on it just for many years because of gymnastics and this doctor. And I just remember feeling like it controlled me, and I hated that feeling. So when I was able to get off of it and to like get rid of it completely, I said, I never want to feel like something controls me again like that. And so when it comes to like surgeries, if I have the option of not taking narcotic pain meds, I don't take them. Not because I was ever addicted to narcotic pain meds, guys.
I saw a bunch of comments, people saying, oh, I just stubbed my toe and I took whatever pill. I was like, I can't believe Sean isn't doing this after a major surgery. So
it's not that bad. And the Tylenol and Motrin and the Toradol that they give you, it's amazing. But my personal choice during that is I'm able to get through that pain and it be manageable. So if I'm, why not go an extra step for me and just be like, you know what? I have an obsessive mindset. I don't want to ever like abuse something.
Your pain tolerance is nuts. For those of you who remember when we were pregnant with Drew, Sean broke her toe at 38, 37 weeks pregnant, something like that. A block fell on her toe.
A cinder block.
And she like called me over and she was like, hey, I think we should go to get this checked out. She was like, look, physically kind of looked like in pain, but
I was like, in pure shock.
Looked like maybe she just stubbed her toe. So we go in there and I kind of thought, Sean's being dramatic. I was wrong. Babe. I was wrong. But even the doctor, the first triage doctor, was like pulling on it.
Wiggling my toe.
And he was like, yeah, we can get it x-rayed if you want, but I think it's fine. Sean was like, let's get it x-rayed. And he comes in a little bit later. He's like, it is shattered. So your pain tolerance is nuts. I really respect you for that. And to your credit, you've spent a lot of time and effort kind of regaining autonomy on your life with, I think, your relationship with food, narcotics. You're just very aware of those things.
It's not narcotics. Let's back
sorry, that's
it up
a headline.
There.
That's a headline. So yes. Sorry.
I will say, going down the route that you're talking about, because I have struggled with like eating disorders and that type of thing, I've seen so many headlines about narcotics, opioids, addiction. We've had friends who have misused them. I've seen what they're capable of. And because I've gone through a C-section before and perfectly managed that pain without them in my journey and like my delivery, to me, it was like, yeah, I don't need it.
Let me throw out the longest tease that's ever existed. But we're actually writing a book about this concept of compounding habits and compounding choices.
Don't hold your breath.
And it's going to probably be a year and a half, 2 years. We just finished a proposal, though. Very exciting. And I feel like you have done a great job at realizing what your strengths are, what your weaknesses are, and trying to compound the good things so that over the span of, maybe you don't even notice the effect that has over the course of a week or a month, but when we zoom out 5 or 10 years, those little things turn into big things. The same concept that makes you this insane elite gymnast, I think is the same thing, the same quality that makes you prone to being
for
like
sure
an addictive extreme, like at all costs. You know what I'm saying?
For sure. It's something we talked about before. I spend a lot of time and effort trying to keep myself like inside the lines. I don't know how to say that.
Yeah, I think that's well said.
And I'm so used to, from my childhood and from the Olympics and gymnastics, feeling and thinking that extreme was normal, that I try not to do that anymore. I try not to work out to extreme levels or time frames. I try to keep my nutrition normal and average. I try to not be an anal perfectionist anymore. I truly try to stay within the normal lines of boundaries instead of, because my mindset would normally be like, oh, we're going to have going to run a marathon. I have to do it the fastest.
Yeah. You go all in. I don't suffer from that, and I've never suffered from an Olympic gold medal either. So
I think,
but if it is the same.
There's a headline for you. Someone's gonna pick that up. Andrew East says he's never suffered from.
That's just an interesting concept that had actually come up with our marital therapist too, where she said the same thing that made you fall in love with Sean is the same thing that caused you the most frustration. She's super ambitious. And you love that about her, but now it's exhausting you or something, you know? I'm super free-spirited, and you love that, but now I'm terrible at scheduling still.
Some magazines are going to have a heyday with these one-liners that we're giving them.
Oh, man. Okay, so back to it. We're in the room. That first day, the first couple of days, really all in the hospital. It is like a vacation, especially when you have kids at home. Just being able to sit in silence with the baby. Wait, can we hear the baby breathing? You're just hearing the little baby breathing and whimpering, and oh, it's adorable. And Sean and I don't even really talk that much. We just kind of enjoy that. We chit chat. But
sleep and
this is a crazy thing. I go out to tell my parents or our parents about the baby, saying it's a boy, yada yada. And in the lobby is two of my Vandy football players mm-hmm. and another friend. So there's three friends all at the hospital getting ready to have babies at the same time, which turned into this really fun.
It was cool.
Like social hour. We're like next door neighbors with one of our friends.
Exchanging baked goods with each other.
Yeah, you know, you get flowers and the whole thing.
I had someone's mom walk in. She was like, I just had to come see your baby. And I was like, okay.
But I'm bouncing around the rooms, meeting the other babies, catching up. It was like really fun. We ordered Uber Eats for all of us. And it was just.
Yeah, we ordered the world's largest sushi order and distributed it amongst a few rooms.
Oh, it was really fun. And then all of our parents got to meet them. And mm-hmm. we just kind of hung out. We were FaceTiming friends, enjoying the time. We went through the series of tests that they do at the hospital. What was that? A burp, buddy?
That was a burp. And it was stinky.
He's a burpy little guy. He does a hearing test, which you passed. I think it's always hilarious to see them with the little headphones on. He's gaining weight, which is good. He latched almost immediately.
Immediately, which is great. Because it's a... repeat C-section, because he was doing well and I was doing well, they give us the option to leave after two nights instead of stay the third, and we were so
sorry
that picture should not be shown, little naked bear. We were so antsy and excited to get home to introduce him to his brother and sister. We ended up leaving the morning of the third day.
Yeah, I feel like we had a good time in the hospital, but didn't want to spend any more time away from our kids at home than we needed to. Sean was walking within hours of the surgery, which
is pretty normal. That's normal.
I don't know, dude. You're just a beast. You're next level. Is there anything else from these? I'm trying to review these pictures and see what we missed.
I'd say the only thing I remember about this one, or not the only thing, another thing I remember about this one was I was so, like, so much more?
Yeah.
Swollen after this one than I was the other two. I was so swollen for the first week.
You feel good now?
Yeah. I don't mean it, like, in a subconscious way. I just mean it in, like, I literally felt like my body had gone through the most trauma.
I will say, I feel like I had it really good with Drew, and I was spoiled and I took it for granted, but Drew didn't latch immediately. Mm-hmm. And so we pretty much bottle fed her. Do we bottle feed her in the hospital with formula?
No. She latched in the hospital, but she just never, we just had a very hard time figuring out feeding. She didn't have a tongue tie. She didn't have a lip tie. She didn't have cheek ties, nothing. She just wasn't a good nurser. So by the time we got home, we had started bottle feeding pretty much.
And the side effect of that was I got to spend more time with Drew and be up late at night and just get to know her in a mm-hmm. different way. Whereas Jet and Bear pretty much have been your sidekick from the get-go because mm-hmm. you're feeding them in that way. So
I have said, though, and I want to say this to like new moms, breastfeeding is really hard. It's really, really hard, and it takes a lot of time to figure out. I told you this the other day. I do feel like if Drew was my second or third baby, I probably could have nursed her. We probably could have figured it out. But especially since she was my first and I had no idea what I was doing, I was more frustrated and overwhelmed trying to figure out how breastfeeding works that I ended up giving up before we ever like figured out a rhythm.
Well, you gave it a couple weeks, so yeah, it's not like you tapped out immediately. But I mean, honestly, the whole first couple weeks is hard.
Yeah,
we're still in it.
Yeah,
there's a lot to figure out, a lot of new transitions. We did. People loved the stories I did on the postpartum kind of rules that we follow.
Oh yeah, Andrew has postpartum rules.
Well, I'll never forget when we did our labor and delivery class the first time we gave birth with Drew. You go into the hospital and they kind of walk you through the process, help you kind of get your bearings on changing diapers, all the things. And they were talking about postpartum depression and how real of a thing it is. And then a couple of our friends have suffered mm-hmm. from that. And it's like, traumatizing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a real thing.
For sure.
And so the nurse at the hospital was talking about some of the things they do. So I took those and expanded upon them. But essentially, for the first 6 weeks after we have a baby, so we're still in it, our rules are that we're only watching comedy.
Yeah, I'm not allowed to watch anything but comedies.
Just trying to get giggles going, right? Because I think that actually does train and reinforce mm-hmm. neurological pathways. And there's a lot of time that you're sitting on the couch, maybe watching screens. So yeah. Keep it to comedies. Get outside as much as possible. The first couple of days, maybe you're just sitting outside in the sun. That's what
Andrew would, every time he'd go into like the gym to work out or go outside, he would set up like a chair and blankets for me and Bear. And he'd be like, we're going outside. You need to come outside and sit. And I'm like, okay.
Well, the first time I did it, I said, hey, I need help coaching with the workout.
It was clever.
And I so you're, it. Yeah. But then now we're doing walks. We started doing like one 10-minute walk, and now Sean's going on a walk by herself while I watch a baby.
Healthy food.
So if there's ever anything you're going to spend money on, I feel like this is it. Like, invest in trying to make it through this transition well. And so
mm-hmm. 1 in 5 Americans have, quote, learn a new language on their bucket list. If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off your list with Babbel.
Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are designed by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks.
Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are designed by over 150 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Plus, Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching, so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world.
Andrew and I have been learning Spanish on Babbel, and it's been so fun. We've wanted to learn a new language for so long and have finally started. We've learned how to order food, ask for directions, speak to merchants, all without having to consult language apps, which is so cool.
It's crazy how fast your brain picks up a new language when it's presented in a relatable way. Plus, Babbel's speech recognition technology helps you to improve your pronunciation and accent. Babbel has over 10 million subscriptions sold. Plus, all of Babbel's 14 language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee.
Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/eastfam. Again, get 60% off at babbel.com/eastfam, spelled BABBEL.com/eastfam. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You guys, I was so nervous about having thin, broken hair after having Bear, but no joke, I feel like my hair is at its healthiest point ever.
I agree.
Thanks. Thanks to Vegamore, sticking to my hair routine has never been easier, even in the postpartum days. Vegamore products are 100% cruelty-free and are never formulated with harmful chemicals like parabens or hormones, which is really important to us. I've made it a part of my daily routine for the past 6 months, and I am so happy with the way my hair looks and feels. I've actually had people ask me if I've gotten my hair done recently, and it's funny because I haven't.
Mm.
Yeah. I started using the Grow Hair Serum immediately after Bear, and my hair has never felt thicker and softer. I also like how it's not oily or greasy, so you can use it on wet or dry hair. I signed up for the monthly subscription of the Grow Hair Serum, and it's nice because you get to save money on your order and you never run out of the product. Fun fact, Vegamore sells one bottle of Grow Hair Serum every 15 seconds on their website. That's how good this stuff really is. Elevate your hair wellness routine this year with Vegamore. For a limited time, get 20% off your first subscription order by going to vegamore.com/eastfam and use code EASTFAM at checkout. That's vegamore.com/eastfam, code EASTFAM to save 20% off your first order. vegamore.com/eastfam, code EASTFAM. Let's get back to it.
Buying as much healthy food and preparing that and whatever way works for you, hydrating is mm-hmm. important.
We do.
You were super dehydrated, and Sean is not naturally good at that. But mm-hmm. we also, I try to remind her as often as possible that I'm here to help, and if she needs to get space from the baby, like there's times of frustration with the breastfeeding. Mm-hmm. I can just tell, and it's like, hey, let me take him for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Asking for help as much as possible. We got a lot of helpful feedback from you guys with other things you do, so limiting guests to what mm-hmm. you're comfortable for, which is something I love. Hey, come on in, meet the baby. And Sean isn't as comfortable with that.
I think something too we've learned with each kid, something we did better with this one, is mom is going to have a lot more like specific thoughts, preferences right after birth than dad probably. And I remember, Andrew, you asked me like what my expectations were when we got home as far as like visitors and if I wanted people to hold the baby or touch the baby or kiss, like whatever it was. And I remember you were really respectful and saying like, where are you with all of this? And I said, I really don't want a lot of visitors. I don't feel like handing him off to anybody this time. Because I know
I haven't really.
Yeah. I know it's like Drew. I just needed a little bit more space to myself, especially with that transition. I just needed to be able to go and get some quiet time with him. I'm just like, no, I don't want anybody to hold him. Oh, you okay?
It might be time to wrap this up.
So yeah, you've just been really helpful and respectful with that.
It's okay.
The structured life Sean and I live is not for everybody, but we do have a lot of the kind of quote unquote protocols for a lot of things. So even with the older siblings, we have methods of, you know, with Jet meeting Drew for the first time, Jet brought Drew a gift. We did that this time again. The older kids are like the gatekeepers for any new person meeting the baby. So no one can meet the new baby without going through the two older first. We have a lot of things we could talk about. If you're curious to get our thoughts on these things, let us know in the comments. But it looks like it's time to go. And I'm so glad we were able to sit down and capture this. Before we forgot everything 3.5 weeks later. I love you. You continue to impress me. You are a great best friend, a great girlfriend, a better wife, and an amazing mom. And I'm really thankful for you.
You're my favorite person in the world, baby. No one else in the world I'd rather do this with.
So now I think we'll go on another hiatus, get back to the interviews. So stay tuned for those in the next couple weeks because we have some fun ones. But that's all we have. If you made it this far and you haven't subscribed, please do so. Let us know in the comments what your thoughts are on this, if you want any other issues addressed. And we'll see you next time. I'm Andrew.
I'm Sean. And this is Bear.
This is Bear. And
you're peeing all over me.
We are the East.
Oh, my gosh.
Seriously?
Yes.
All right, real quick for all of those listening out there. We don't ask for a lot of favors, I don't think, babe, do we?
No.
But we're going to ask you a favor today, all right? If you're listening to Couple Things Podcasts on Apple Podcasts specifically, will you please do us this short, quick favor?
We want to make sure you're staying up to date with our show, and Apple's latest iOS update has paused downloads for many listeners, and some of you have expressed our latest episodes aren't being recommended to you on Apple Podcasts anymore.
So here's how to make sure you're getting your episode. And again, this is for Apple Podcasts specifically. Open up that podcast app on your iPhone.
Search Couple Things and tap our show's icon.
And then in the top right corner, you might see a plus follow symbol. If you do, tap it to resume following the show.
If you get a prompt to, quote, turn on automatic downloads, say yes. That way, you'll get all of the episodes. Thank you so much, guys. We're so glad this update was brought to our attention because we want to make sure we're reaching as many of you as we can.
Love y'all, and we really appreciate you doing this.